Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With shrinking numbers as to enrollment, the Jefferson Parish School Board embarked upon a study to see how they could best react to this moving into the future, making sure that they could create efficiencies. And they announced the results of their study last evening, and they will vote on this in the upcoming Jefferson Parish School Board meeting. The chairman of the Jefferson Parish School Board joins us, Ralph Brandt. Ralph, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Noel. Glad to be with you.
Ralph, we've seen this move afoot across the country where we've seen declining numbers in enrollment in public school systems, and it compels you and your board members and the administration, having the fiduciary obligation to manage all of this, to take some action. So tell us about what it is that y'all are doing.
Well, back in our February meeting, we voted as a board to bring in Myers Engineering and MGT Consultants to basically update a report that they had produced for the school board back in 2017 with the Hill Group. And so they were charged with looking at the data, engaging with the public to see, you know, what the public saw in our schools and what they envisioned for the schools. We looked at what things that we needed as a school system to remain relevant and bring our students into the 21st century, trying to provide equity in our program opportunities, you know, to the best level that we could. Did they develop options for us, you know, to address the needs of our system? And they made recommendations to us at last night's meeting, which we have moved to the April 5th agenda so that we'll have public comment. We will vote on the plan at that time.
And I think a lot of what, and you and I have discussed this before, a lot of what the report revealed is a complete underutilization of some of the campuses and then overutilization of others.
Right. You know, that was one of the things is that they, the consultants used a program that not only looked at the utilization levels of the schools, but also looked at the condition of our schools. And that's the combination of that, too, gave us a score. And that's what led the consultants to kind of pick a list of schools of concern that we really needed to do. Many of our schools are operating at a level below 50%, which means that you basically could have two schools, you know, doing that if they're at less than 50%. You know, it's way underutilized. The peak number that they were striving for was a number that looked, I'm looking for the number real quick. They were looking for something in that 70 to 80% range, and we're talking about schools way under at 50%. And then we have a substantial number of schools that are below 400 enrollment, and those are just, when you look at the combination of things, as you described it, a fiduciary duty to, you know, present the best educational opportunities for our kids, 21st century opportunities. And we need to do a better job with utilization of our schools.
The summary of what y'all doing seems to be somewhere around 8 or 9 different initiatives. The first, as outlined, is that Haynes Academy for Advanced Studies would be relocated to the Grace King campus in Metairie, and Grace King students would be reassigned to attend Bonneville and Riverdale. I know Haynes, part of that school campus is very old, right?
Well, not just Haynes, but I mean, if you look that studies across the country say that a useful life for a school type building is about 50 years, and 80% of our schools are 60 years or older. So we're 10 years past the useful life. So, you know, that's, you know, yes, Haynes was one of the things that came up. It was a question of high schools on both the East Bank and the West Bank. It was, we had poor usage, poor utilization on the high schools, so that there was an overabundance of classroom space on both the East Bank and the West Bank. But, you know, the other thing is that, you know, it's quick to focus on the consolidation or closure of schools, but the plan also talks about building two brand new schools, larger schools that will be better utilized in the areas that we build them, one on the East Bank and one on the West Bank. So it's not just a closure, it's right sized in the district with better schools that fit the educational model for our system.
Right, but I was just going to go through these because a lot of people are asking questions, and I didn't know if there was anything unique about any of those. I mean, I lived right across the street from Haynes for a long, long time, and understand that, you know, other campuses are larger, much younger, and have room for additional buildings, right? And you know, I know that all of that goes into the consideration. I guess a lot of the consolidation on the West Bank, and probably the West Bank, has been more impacted than the East Bank as a larger percentage of these declining enrollment numbers. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think there's a fair amount of reorganization and reshuffling on both sides of the river. I don't think that it's unique, but yes, you know, it hits both sides of the river. There also is something, you know, significant with the, you know, some of the West Bank schools.
Yeah. Well, I bring that up only because it's not like y'all really have an option to move east to west or west to east, right? I mean, you know, the transportation costs and the logistics of doing something like that kind of exacerbates whatever the plan would be, correct?
Absolutely. There are limited options because of the river. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you have that same scenario that appears in some of the outlying areas, whether or not that's going to be, you know, the Lafitte area as well as Grand Isle. I know that there's, you know, a lot of questions about what happens there. But when you talk about the cost of running these institutions from afar like that, it's a legitimate consideration as to and overspend in some areas as it relates to others.
There are absolutely some unique challenges. And, you know, you mentioned both of them. I said the schools in the Lafitte area are still recovering from Ida in terms of the FEMA dollars that are being spent to rebuild the Fisher campuses down there. And then Grand Isle, just being Grand Isle, being located so far, you know, south of the rest of the you know, the West Bank of Jefferson Parish, it has some unique challenges. And then, you know, they too are still recovering from Hurricane Ida. So, you know, the consultants, you know, looked at that and they recognized the low utilization rate, you know, due to the recent events. But they also are recommending to the Grand Isle community that we need to come up with possibly some unique approaches involving the community and their rebuilding, and possibly how we staff a school in Grand Isle.
And this consolidation, obviously, with the challenge that you have as it relates to teachers, teacher assistants, support staff, and then just the cost of educating our kids today, it really begs of a consolidation, does it not?
Oh, it does. I said, you know, right now, I said nationally they talk about the teacher shortage, and it's not just a teacher shortage. It's a staffing shortage across many positions in our school system. And so this plan will help us by consolidating schools. We will have more quality certified teachers available to go in the classroom. And it also gives us the ability, if we have quality certified teachers in every classroom, then we have a better focus and a better way to handle curriculum in the classroom. I know that when Dr. Gray and I were on your show last month, you know, we talked about that there were, you know, approximately 150 teacher openings in our school system right now, which means that we either have to have substitutes or hire people who may not be certified teachers. This eliminates that problem for us. You know, by managing the dollars, you know, we can put more dollars in the classroom for quality education. We'll have a quality environment with new schools and renovated schools, and we'll have quality teachers and staff that are well paid.
Yeah. So you guys will, this is up for final approval on April the 5th?
This will be up for final approval on April 5th, correct.
And do we, you know, I mean, this is a very difficult process. I have to commend y'all for getting through this. Obviously, a lot of the legwork was done back in 2017, and I got to imagine a lot of the observations then, the details that supported it probably are in worse shape today than they were at that point in time, right?
That was one of the findings of the consultants when they did this. So when MGT and Myers came on board, Dr. Gray and his cabinet had been working on implementing these changes. And we had the pandemic that came, Hurricane Ida that came, that slowed it down. But we, you know, we weren't starting from ground zero. So the consultants came in, they looked at the data, they conducted the public meetings to have input. They interviewed the staff and the administration. But yes, you know, in some cases, you know, one of the good things that they commented on the school system was that we had not just been sitting idly by over the last 5 years since the last report, that we have been implementing changes where we have already converted 14 elementary and middle schools into a pre-K-8 model, which we feel will be more effective. We've already done 3 facility consolidations. So all of those things allowed our scores to improve slightly, but yet we were still faced with a decrease of just over 2,000 students since the last report. And our utilization rate, unfortunately, decreased by an average 15% since that last report. So in many ways, although there are some positive things, overall, we still need to right-size our school system. And this, you know, this report and this evaluation that was presented last night is the next step in that continuing process to right-size our school district.
And there's always a challenge of funding, right, Ralph? I mean, I think the public school system is one of the largest beneficiaries of the tax rolls in the parish, which is appropriate. That's how it is throughout the country. But there needs to be an understanding that there may not be many opportunities to go back to the taxpayers for increases.
We have to be very mindful of that. You know, the citizens of Jefferson Parish were very generous a few years ago when they approved a millage to pay our teachers more, to be competitive with the surrounding areas. But again, we have to be wise stewards of the money that the citizens entrust us with so that, you know, they feel like we are doing a good job, that we are wise. And that's why it was important to Dr. Gray and the consultants that, you know, we're not coming back to the public and saying, you know, we need 2 new schools and we need you to pay for it. We are going to find the money within the system now to pay for these first 2 schools to show that we are wise stewards of the money.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck to you guys on April the 5th. I've been very impressed with the speed and the diligence in which y'all have addressed this situation. Like, and I shouldn't say speed because obviously this is something that's been going on for a while, and just folks have been focused on it, and now it's time to execute on all that hard work, right?
Absolutely. You know, we've listened to the public, you know, for what they've asked for and what they believe our school system is, and we hope to be able to deliver a school system that is well suited for our kids moving forward.
Ralph, thank you so much for your time, your insight. Best of luck on April 5th, and we'll check back with you after the meeting. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Newell. Thank you.
All righty, folks, that's Ralph Brandt, chairman of the Jefferson Parish School Board. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.